Appreciate your prayers tonight. It's always a concern of mine that I be able to express the thoughts the Lord has given to me in a way that He would have them expressed, and that I wouldn't be a hindrance to His message. I've heard it said by other ministers that they apologize for the simplicity of their message, and so I guess I would have to do the same. I guess this would be considered a simple message, really, something that we're familiar with. But I really believe that the Word of God says that we need to be reminded of things, and sometimes we need to just think about things again. Sometimes the Lord can give us a new perspective on it when He says it again. So I just want to, I don't normally do this, but I'm going to write something on the board here. Just a simple definition of a priority is a fact or condition of being regarded or treated as more important. A thing regarded as more important than another. And so we have what we would call priorities in our lives, or things that we would say are more important than other things. We may have more than one priority. And end up having to shuffle these priorities around and get them in a correct order. And so one of the things I wanted to say is, what would we say are priorities? And so when you think about priorities, you might think of your family as being a priority. You might think of friends as a priority, or church, or the Lord as a priority. You may even get as simple as saying that food is a priority, right? If you go without eating for too long, you'll realize that food is a necessity and it's a priority. Water, some people would say entertainment is a priority. Shelter. So these are all different things that are considered to be important to us in our lives. And oftentimes we have to make decisions throughout our days and throughout our lives as what's going to be a priority, or what's going to be the most important thing to us in that day or in that given moment. And we make those decisions all the time about what's important to us. And I think that we often get our priorities mixed up. Sometimes what should hold a higher position in our lives maybe doesn't, because of other priorities that get in the way, right? And so we're going to look a little bit at some of these instances that could maybe happen in that sense. Another thing is, let's go ahead and look at Proverbs 23. We're going to read verses 1 to 3. It says, "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat." And so I brought this scripture about to think about one thing, in that although food and water are necessities, they're priorities. I mean, maybe one of the most essentials. He's saying to be careful that you don't allow that priority to supersede another priority or something that's more important. You can get an appetite or desire for dainty foods or for eloquent meal. But there may be a situation behind this ruler giving you this big spread, I think about it in regards to like making leagues with people. You know, you sit at meet with somebody and maybe they may want you to condone some of their behaviors or some of their lifestyles or whatever it might be. And so he's saying that although food and drink is a priority, it doesn't necessarily mean that it should take first priority in every situation. All right? So let's look at another one. Proverbs 24. We're going to read verse, let's see. We're going to read 30, and I think we'll just go ahead and read to the end maybe. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and needles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, I think of sleep as a priority. I've come to realize that a little bit more recently, that sleep is necessary. And, but again, if I decided that I'm just going to sleep in every day and not go to work, right? That's interfering with another priority of mine, right? And so, although sleep is a priority, it doesn't necessarily take precedence over every other priority that's in my life. Let's look at another one. Matthew 10. We're going to read, I guess it's just verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And so, like we said before, family, very important. Certainly a priority. And in many of our minds, it's probably one of the highest priorities, right? If not, well, I would say it's not the highest priority, because you just said right here that if we love our families more than God, then there's something wrong with that. But although family is a priority, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be the first priority in every situation of our lives. Again, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 5. Okay, 1 Timothy 5 and 8. This is showing that our families are a priority. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. And so again, family, very important. The scriptures verify this, that the Lord wants us to take care of our families, and he wants us to love and nurture our families and to provide for our families. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it should be our highest priority. John 15 and 13. Says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so to me, I look at this scripture and it speaks to me that the Lord values friendship, fellowship for one another. And our fellowship is valuable. And it is a priority, or should be a priority in our lives, that we come together and gather together and fellowship and worship the Lord together and have those interactions. But again, it doesn't necessarily mean that it should be the number one priority in our lives. One more of this type. 1 Timothy 3, 4 to 5. Now this scripture here, well, we'll just go ahead and read it and I'll explain afterwards. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 to 5. This is the qualifications for a bishop. It says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" So when I read this scripture here, it tells me that there's the potential for someone to get so caught up in maybe ministry and lose focus about their family. And maybe allow one of their other priorities to be neglected. And the scriptures is saying that that should not be. That we should be able to rule our own house as well. And provide for our homes and those things. And so although serving the Lord, I would say, is our highest priority, it can still interfere with some of our other priorities if we're not balanced. If we're not temperate. And so I bring about all this to say that I've been learning about priorities. You know, the Lord has been showing me some things, and He's been showing me that there's a lot of times where priorities conflict with one another. You know, I mean, you can look at it and, you know, work is a priority. You gotta earn a living, you know. But again, if you're working all the time and you're not getting home and spending time with the kids and the wife, and then where's the balance? You know, one priority is being fulfilled while another is not. You know, you can really go down the line of that and say how we can interchange our priorities or give one priority more time than the others, something very, very important is going to suffer because of it when we do that. And so somehow we have to find balance in our lives. Somehow we have to find room for all these things that are very important in our lives. You know, I was thinking about it, and, you know, one of the things that comes to mind is how can you tell what a person's priorities are? How can you tell, you know, what a person holds dear or valuable or sets as in high regard in their lives? I would agree. I would say that the amount of time or energy or effort would show how valuable that particular priority may be. You know, for many people in the world today, entertainment is almost the number one priority, if not the number one priority. To entertain themselves, to find enjoyment in something, and whatever it might be. And it's not to say that the entertainment or to find enjoyment in life is a bad thing. But should it be the number one priority? Should it be what drives us in our lives? Should it be what we spend all of our lives doing, all of our energy doing? Is that why God created us? Is that why we're here? It's also possible to have a high priority be neglected because of something that doesn't really matter all that much. You know, and one of the things I feel like the Lord has been showing me recently that I think I give my phone too much priority. And it's just dead time. You know, I got a little puzzle game on my phone and I might spend hours at work because my job is slow and there's not a whole lot to do. And I can just be on that puzzle game for hours. I run my phone down where I can't even call my wife after work because my phone is dead. Right? But why can't I do that reading scripture? Same phone has the Bible on it. Right? Where are my priorities? You know, the Lord has priorities too. He has priorities for us. He has priorities for what He wants to do in our lives. What would the Lord say about our priorities? How would He measure up some of the things that we prioritize? You know, I feel like we don't understand what God is doing a lot because we don't understand His priorities. You know, we talked this morning, we had a good message about trials. Fiery trials that come our way. They come to burn off the dross. To purge out what shouldn't be in our lives or shouldn't be in our hearts. And oftentimes when we're going through those things, we just cry out, why? Why, Lord? Why are You doing this? It doesn't make any sense to me why You would let this happen. And the reality is that our dim wisdom just doesn't see it. You know, we just don't think like God thinks. His priorities for us are different. I remember thinking when I was younger that, you know, I was talking to other people and I really came to realize that, my comforts weren't always God's priority. You know, me being comfortable wasn't always His priority. I think a lot of times He wanted me to be a little bit uncomfortable, you know, a little mixed up, a little bit, you know, because I trust Him more, you know, I'm praying more and digging more, seeking more when I'm uncomfortable. When I'm comfortable, I can just relax and kind of slumber and sleep like that guy that let all the weeds grow around his yard. And so God's priorities are different than ours. I really believe that the Lord's priority is to get us to heaven. At any cost. I believe that He'll go to great lengths to get us there. I think He'll go to great lengths to purify us and cleanse us in our hearts and in our lives. There's a lot that the Lord wants to do in us. Those are His priorities. To purge out selfishness and self-centeredness, pride and arrogance. To purge those things out. To make us shine like gold that's been refined. Those are God's priorities. How high of a priority is it of ours? How badly do we want Him to do those things? Because when our priorities are lined up with His, a lot of times we'll be able to see those things as working just that. You know, you've heard people say, don't pray for patience, right? Because what happens? You find yourself in a lot of situations where patience is required. And that's exactly what God is doing. He's giving you what you've asked for. He's teaching you how to be patient. And what better way to learn that lesson than through exercise? Where we have to exercise our patience. Let's go to Matthew 6. This is the Lord telling us His priorities. We'll start at verse 31. He says, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.'" And so He's telling us what our priority should be. Seeking God first, the kingdom of God. But He doesn't stop at that. He says, and His righteousness. I really feel like that should be our priority. To have the righteousness of God in us, where we shine forth His glory. It's not because of how great we are or how good we are, but it's because of what the Lord does and what He did in our lives and in our hearts. That brings Him glory. And you think about this and you say, well, how can He say, don't worry about food or water? I mean, we've already said that's the basic necessities. How long will we last without one of those? But then I was reminded of a situation where the Lord told Elijah to leave and to go to a certain river, I believe it was. And it says that the Lord had the ravens bring food to him. Elijah just did what the Lord had told him. And the Lord provided for his needs. You know, I think about that, and the Lord is asking us to do that. Sometimes He'll ask us to follow Him in a certain situation, and not to worry about the things that we get worried about. You know, a lot of times we can see all the problems that could result because of this one specific thing. And I mean, I did this a lot in my mind, where there's a lot of things where the Lord tells us to do things. And in my environment that I grew up in, it was very difficult to do. Physically, when His word says to somebody smite you on the cheek, to let them hit the other one, you know, in my environment, that was, you can't do that, right? That's impossible. How could the Lord require that? Or, you know, other situations where things were required. By maybe the powers to be, you might call them. And severe repercussions can come as a result of doing the will of the Lord. As a result of doing things the way God has said. And it doesn't make sense. And you don't see how it can possibly turn out right. You don't know how in the world the Lord's going to work it out. But I'll tell you that He does. Time and time again, when you trust in the Lord, He'll work it out. When you follow His leading, when you do what His way is best, every time. We may not understand it, we may not know why it's best, but it is best. You know, I'm reminded of the situation with Hezekiah when the enemy was at the gate and they were saying, look, you know, the gods of all these other nations, they haven't protected them. We've wiped them out. We've wiped out everyone. And here we're about to take care of you too. And the Lord told him, don't even answer. Just trust. They had no idea how how it was going to come about. The Lord made him hear a noise or something out in the woods and ran off a whole army and protected the nation of Israel. You know, the Lord does things that we can't even imagine. He works things out that would never make any sense to us. And so I ask you this too. Is the Lord asking us to do anything that he would not do himself? Or that he has not set the example for us? You know, I'm reminded of some instances in the scripture where it says that the Lord was tired. You know, they'd been out, I guess, walking and ministering all day and they were tired. Sleep is a necessity, right? Got to have sleep. You can go for a while without sleep, but I mean, after a while, it'll make you crazy, you know, without the grace of the Lord. But it always stuck out to me when it says that they were tired and hungry and they just wanted to relax. You know, it's been a long day. And it says the multitude was there with all their sick and infirm. And they had needs. And it says that the Lord had compassion on them. And he healed all their sick. You know, he was tired. He needed sleep too. And yet forewent the sleep or to have compassion on the multitudes, the people who were in need. I pray that the Lord will help me to do that, to have that heart. I have a lot of needs too. I need the Lord to do a lot of things in me. And I pray that he'll help me to let him, you know, and not wiggle and squirm every time he wants to do something and wants to produce something in my heart and in my life. Think about another situation where there was a woman at a well and he asked her for a drink and the disciples went to go get food. And when they came back and says, I think they asked him if he wanted something to eat, or he said that his meat and drink was to do the will of the Father. And so there was times when he went without food to do God's will, to minister to a soul that needed a Savior. I think of the Lord and how it says that he didn't have a roof over his head. Right? He said, I think the birds of the air have nests. And foxes have holes or something. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't even have a roof over his head, out doing the will of the Lord. And so I say, you know, that yes, the Lord wants us to make him our priority, and he proved it. He showed it. He did it. I thank God that he did it. You know, I think of the situation in the garden. When he saw what was coming, he could tell what was about to happen and knew what he was going to face. And he says, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I want God's priorities in my life. And when I say that, I know that he doesn't just have one priority. You know, he doesn't just have one priority for us to serve him and to spend all of our time in ministry. And our families are his priority too. Our kids are his priority. Our friends are his priority too. Whether or not we eat or drink is his priority as well. He cares about all those things. He says every hair on our head is numbered. And so although we're saying that we want to have the priorities of the Lord, or we want to live according to His priorities, really, I just want to live according to the priorities and the order in which God would put them. Because me, if I have control of the list, I'll mess the order up. And so I pray that the Lord will help me to prioritize things in the way that He would prioritize them. You know, I want to look at 1 Peter 4 and 12. We read this scripture this morning, and I really felt like it was a blessing to go along with this. And that sometimes God's priorities require a little fire. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Are we willing to say amen to that? You know, it's like the song was saying, it's when troubles come. We're going to face troubles. Everyone in life faces troubles. Even those people who don't have the Lord, they face troubles too. They just don't have the Lord to help them. And so we're going to face trials. We're going to face struggles. We're going to face the fiery trials that come against us. But we have a God to help us, to make us, to get us through it. He's trying to purify us. He's trying to make us into what He would have us be. You know, I hear it mentioned quite a bit. I just want to be all that the Lord would have me be. And that's a great prayer. But really, it's just be ready. Because there's a lot of things the Lord wants you to be. And so I just pray that the Lord would help us to be able to say in our hearts, like the song said in 111, the way, God's way is best. His priorities, number one. And I pray that the Lord would help me to have my priorities lined up the way He would have them lined up. And that I would live my life in a way that pleases Him, and that He would be able to do all the things that He wants to do in me, purify me, that He might be glorified. I appreciate your prayers and I appreciate your attention. Thank you.